Festival of Books, and we are so excited to be here this year, you guys. You have an amazing show lined up for you with some incredible talent, but we're going to start the show off right away, and we're going to reveal the Wheel of Stories. And there it is. Beautiful. All right, you guys, there are 13 permanent topics on the wheel. There's two spaces that say audience. If the contestant comes up and they land on audience, well, guess what? It's your choice as to which story they tell, and our expert judges will choose the topic. And there's also one space that says free. If they land on that space, they can tell any topic on the wheel. And we're going to get started right away, you guys, and we're going to bring up our expert judges. All right, you guys, coming out right now to the stage is Peter Melman. He's a comedy writer and an author who worked on some little show for 9 years called Seinfeld. On Seinfeld, Peter coined such phrases as yada, 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 shrinkage, and double dipping. Yes. Peter was also the creator of the TV show It's Like You Know, the digital series The Narrow World of Sports, and he's authored two successful books, and that's ironic because we're at the Festival of Books, Mandela Was Late, and also It Won't Always Be This Great. You can find more out about Peter on Twitter at Peter Melman. You guys, give him a hand. And the next expert judge coming to the stage is Kelly Carlin, you guys. Kelly Carlin. She is a writer and a performer and a teacher and a public speaker. You can hear Kelly talking to iconic comedians on Sirius's XM's The Kelly Carlin Show. And she is the author of the acclaimed memoir, A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George. She also produced the critically acclaimed Showtime special, The Green Room, with Paul Provenza. You can find her on Twitter at Kelly_Carlin. Give her a hand, you guys. And our third judge coming up right now is Matt Oswalt, you guys. He's a staff writer on Mystery Science 3000, and he writes jokes for way too many award shows to mention right now. You can follow him on Twitter at MattOswaltVA, and if you like sunsets and hockey, feel free to swipe right on Tinder. Matt Oswalt, you guys. All right. How are you guys feeling today?
Most excellent, thank you.
Yeah. Peter, you had a little bit of trouble getting here. You're okay. It's a big campus.
I hate to say this at USC, but why did they move this from UCLA?
As a Bruin, I have to ditto.
All right, now listen, here's the thing, you guys. We're playing three rounds of Story Smash tonight. The first round is only a one-minute story, and that is fast.
Yes.
So this is like an introduction, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to tell a one-minute story.
I wouldn't want to have to do it.
Now, what do you think's easier, Peter? A one-minute story, a two-minute story, or a three-minute story?
A three-minute story.
Well, we're going to get challenging right off the bat with a one-minute story, you guys. I'm going to draw the five contestants' names out of this jar. Of course, it is random. And when they come to the stage, you guys, we're going to give them a round of applause. Right. And then I'll say, tell them what to do. And you say,
spin that wheel.
Okay, but you have to say it so much better than that, okay? So yeah. I'm going to say, tell them what to do. And you say,
spin that wheel.
Oh, my God. This is like a dream.
That was awesome.
That was amazing. Okay, you guys. So coming to the stage right now to tell a true one-minute story is the very talented Christopher Rivas, you guys. Christopher Rivas.
Yeah.
Christopher is All a right. writer and a storyteller and an activist and an actor. And you've seen him on Grey's Anatomy and Shameless and Two Broke Girls and many other television shows. You can find him at ChristopherRivasStorytelling.com and also on Twitter at Lifestyle Design. You guys, let him know what to do. An excellent spin.
We'll be here forever.
The wheel needs new brakes.
So close.
Hey.
Pets.
Is that going to go right now?
Well, when you start talking, that clock will start. So you take a second and get ready. All right, that's enough time. Go.
Wow.
I'm going to have to go with the most recent pet I ever owned. We're going 4 seconds in. I was living with an ex, and she already had a cat that I didn't like very much named Clara, who's like the sexiest, most evil bitch of a cat. Like, she just knows she's sexy. And she said, "You want to get another cat?" And I was like, "Sure." So we go and adopt this cat who is adorable, and we name him Chance because I'm a big fan of Chance the Rapper. And Chance is weird. Chance is like the weirdest fuck. Chance is a cat with Down syndrome, is what we have learned. Because cats can have Down syndrome. Cat was so weird, Chance was so weird, that we even called a cat psychic. And the cat psychic said, Chance's biggest fear is that something large will fall on him. And I was like, me too. That's a thing. And Chance, we were watching him one day, just being weird and creepy, and he walked up to this broom, and he went underneath it, and it fell directly on his head. Chance will never not have Down syndrome.
Christopher Revoss, stay on stage, friends. Stay on stage. Christopher Revoss. All right. Look at the time there. 59 seconds.
Wow.
That was an amazing time. What did you think, Matt Oswalt?
Very good. Caesars, never, but Down syndrome, yeah. That's how you're going to go. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, do you have any pets, Matt?
Not right now. I do not. But I've had many dogs.
You've had many dogs.
They've all died, though.
Yeah.
But I need more than a minute to talk about that. So.
All right, Peter Melman, what'd you think?
Excellent. A beginning, a middle, and an end. I love the story. That was excellent. I have a better story, but...
Well, wait a minute. Let's hear your story about pets, Peter.
I have an unbelievable pet story because I just got this puppy.
With Down syndrome?
No. He's an Australian. Yeah.
Oh, great.
In fact, he's more than normal, except that he doesn't have a tail.
Oh, did you cut it off? Or
no.
He came that way.
He came that way. And so I brought him to a VA hospital thinking maybe I could get him fitted for a prosthetic. And they asked me, you know, like, how did he lose it? And I said, in Afghanistan. And they said, what happened? And I said that, you know, like somebody from the... He was in formation, but somebody from the Taliban threw a tennis ball.
Wow.
And he went on to a roadside bomb.
An IED.
Yeah, an IED.
I almost said IUD.
That is the best...
An IUD, yeah.
Well, that is the best Air Bud sequel I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to tell you right now.
His name is Ike.
Ike.
And the only bad thing about having a new dog is that the people in the dog park, you know, they're so nuts. You know, you could have a show called Thank God She Never Had Kids, you know.
You should write that.
Yeah. This woman says to me, why would you name it Ike? And I had her line ready. So I said, look, I thought that kike was a little too on the head.
Whoa! Peter Melman, you guys.
Anyway,
Peter
that's Melman. A great when, story. Hey, I'm sorry.
Save that kind of talk for UCLA, okay?
Came up.
Come on now.
That was a great story.
Wait, what were you going to say, Matt?
I was saying, save that kike talk for UCLA, all right? That's not. There's a fly. Maybe Cal State Northridge, but definitely not USC.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sorry.
Did I mention that this is an adult show? Did I mention that? Kelly Carlin, what did you think?
Excellent foreshadowing. I just knew something horrible was going to happen at the end. So thank you.
All right, Christopher Revoss, you guys, let him hear it.
Good job, Christopher.
All right, you guys, bigger applause. Come on, it's free. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is the one and only Margot Lightman, you guys. Margot Lightman. She's a storyteller and a comedian and a writer and a teacher, and she's originally from Mattawan, New Jersey. She's the best-selling author of Long Story Short, the only storytelling guide you'll ever need. And she also has the comedic memoir Gawky, Tales of an Extra Long, Awkward Face. I read that book, and I love that book. You can find Margot over on Twitter at Margot Lightman. All right, you guys, let her hear it.
Oh. In that wheel.
Wow, yeah.
Much more reasonable.
I hope it doesn't land on kike. Yeah.
Okay.
So last week I went to go see Love Never Dies at the Pantages Theater, the sequel to the Phantom of the Opera, but I've never seen the Phantom of the Opera, so I was a little lost. And I have two really small children. We had 45 minutes before the show, so I was like, we have 45 minutes of spare time, and we drank three drinks in 45 minutes. Then I went into Love Never Dies, the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, which is literally the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And I talked loudly throughout the whole thing about how bad it was, which is a thing you shouldn't do. And a woman grabbed me by the leg and said, "You need to stop talking." And so I felt terrible and embarrassed. And then in the second half of the show, it happened again. Like, I moved seats away from this woman because I was so humiliated. And then another person told me to stop talking. And I literally went to therapy 2 days later about it. And I was like, I have a degree in theater. I got too drunk. A woman grabbed me by the leg. I have all of this guilt. I've ruined Love Never Dies for so many people. I need to work through this. And at the end of the day, I realized it's like, you know what? Play was bad.
Yeah. Margot Lightman, you guys, stick around. Margot Lightman. Wow, only you would get drunk at the Pantages.
Wow.
Matt Oswalt, what'd you think?
Well, the Frolic Room is next door to the. Did you go to the Frolic Room? Is that where you got drunk from, or did you?
No, across the street, some sort of place, fancier place across the street. But I do love the Frolic Room.
I gotta mark you down for not getting drunk at the Frolic Room before going to the Pantages, because even LA Confidential, they did that. And that,
yeah.
So you gotta, okay. Good story, though. I like that.
All right, what'd you think, Kelly Carlin?
Did you traumatize your children at all?
What?
Did you traumatize your children at all?
I don't think they know it happened.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Then, points off then. Sorry.
Peter, what'd you think?
3 drinks in 15 minutes.
45. 45 minutes.
Oh, in 45 minutes. Yeah. That makes a great story anyway. That's a lot of drinks. And that woman who grabbed your leg, should have smacked her.
What were you drinking, by the way, Margo?
No, it was strong. I had 2 Manhattans and a Chardonnay in 45 minutes because I have small children and I never go out. But that's why I did it.
Isn't that bad drink mixing?
It was everything about it was bad, but the worst thing was the show choice. That was the worst of all. It was a terrible.
That's why you drank. I understand now.
Yeah. She had good reason for drinking, at least.
Yeah. Did any of you guys see Phantom of the Opera?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it, Peter?
Yeah.
No, Matt?
I think I saw it like in 1981 at the Kennedy Center in D.C., but not the one out here in L.A.
Well, this one's worse, so don't see it.
Okay.
All right, you guys, give her a hand. Margot Lightman. Coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is Paul Shirley, you guys. Paul Shirley, he is a former professional basketball player who's played in the Chicago Bulls, the Phoenix Suns, and the Atlanta Hawks. Since his basketball days, Paul has turned his focus to writing, and he has 2 published books, Can I Keep My Jersey and Stories I Tell on Dates. And I read that. I love that book. Keep your ears open for a new podcast coming from Paul, and also find him on Twitter at Paul the Shirley. You guys, let him hear it.
All right.
Pneumonia. E-N-E-O. That's not this part.
Ding.
I'll go very gentle.
Ooh, Mom. Mom.
I was like 13, I think, and I was on the way to the grocery store with my mother. I reached down to dial the radio, and it was mostly static. And I remember thinking at the time, like, oh, man, this is reminiscent of something. So I turned to my mom, and I said, oh, geez, Mom, do you remember when I was a kid, Dad would, when I was a little kid, he would turn the aliens on the radio. We would, my mom worked at the hospital, and my dad would take care of us. And so I would come out, and I'd say, Dad, can we listen to the aliens on the radio? And she's like, are you serious, Paul? And I was like, yeah, it was the aliens. Was that some sort of like War of the Worlds thing? Like, it must have been really NPR and ahead of its time. And she burst into laughter, and she's like, no, that wasn't it. And I was like, what was it? Like, what was that thing? It was so profound at the time. And she's like, Paul, that was just static. You would come out and say, can we listen to the aliens? And your dad would be like, sure, and put it on static. And you'd be happy as a clam until you finished breakfast.
Paul Shirley, you guys. Paul Shirley, great story. Holy cow. Matt Oswalt, what'd you think?
That was good. I yeah.
Yeah. Kelly Carlin.
What do you say when you've read somebody's bad pilot?
That was good. Yeah.
No, I found myself leaning in and listening. So I was like totally drawn in. You were,
Thank you.
Yes, love
Peter, I know you're a basketball fan.
Yes, that's why Paul wins already. I'm happy this wasn't one of those dating stories with your mom. You know.
All right, you guys, let him hear it. Paul Shirley.
Good job, Paul. Good job.
All right, you guys. guys, coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is Melanie Maris. Melanie Maris, you guys. Melanie Maris. She's an award-winning writer, comic, and storyteller who performs all over the world. In fact, she represented Indonesia in the semifinals of the Laugh Factory's Funniest People in the World competition 2016, which took place in Helsinki, Finland. There's got to be a story there. And the judges awarded her one of the highest scores for her performance. You can find her on Twitter at Trouble Jones. All right, you guys, let Melanie hear it. Here we go again.
I feel like we're about a year away from Trump having a wheel that he makes refugees spin before coming into the country. Like, in like, seriously, like about a year away from that.
I want one of these for my home. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, she landed on free, so she can choose any topic on that wheel to tell a story. So
better be good now.
It's going to be good. Get over there, Melanie.
The pressure's on.
No pressure.
The pressure's on.
Just go.
Yes. Just pick. Tell us what you're going to talk about.
Mom. Okay. So my mother is Baptist. My dad is Muslim. So I grew up in a very conservative, very confused household. And my mother is from Oklahoma. And she did not want me to take the mandatory sex ed class at my school. She would tell me, Melanie, the only thing you need inside you is the Holy Spirit. So I did not take sex ed, and subsequently I did not know where testicles were located exactly. I knew there was a penis, but where were the balls? Where were they? Were they at the top of the penis? Were they at the bottom? Did they come out of the sides like wings? I didn't know, but I didn't have Google. What I did have was a gay best friend, and I would go over to his house after theater rehearsal, obviously, and we would go upstairs, and this is super adorable. We would watch Gang Bang Bitches 5 whilst he taught me how to give a blowjob. So I had never found out where testicles were, had never held hands with a boy or even had kissed one, nothing, but I knew how to give Gay Academy Head, which is the most prestigious degree I have.
Whoa, oh, Melanie Maris. Wow, she's talking some talent here. Melanie, go up to the microphone. Matt Oswald.
The fact that they even teach sex ed in Oklahoma, I think, is encouraging. So, right for that alone, I think you win, okay? Right there.
Peter, any thoughts?
They're under. Yeah, that was a good story. It's like, you know what's great about this? You really find out that everybody's upbringing is like as insane as yours.
Yeah, that's so true.
Or more so.
Yeah, that's so true.
You're saying you have a testicle story as well?
I don't.
Okay. Well,
I don't work.
Fine.
Did your mom or dad sit you down and tell you the facts of life, Peter?
God, no.
Nobody told you anything.
I told them.
Kelly, what did you think of the story?
It had religion and gay porn made me happy.
Wow. All right, you guys. Melanie Maris. Let her hear it. Melanie Maris. Okay, the last contestant coming up right now to tell a true one-minute story is Christina Anthony. Give her a hand, you guys. I didn't even have to look at the paper. Did you see that? Christina Anthony, you guys, she's a writer and a performer and an improviser. She's appeared on Comedy Central in a series regular position as on the sketch stand-up show Hybrid Mashup, and also in the hit series Key and Peele. She's best known as an alum for Second City Chicago, and she was chosen by TBS and Refinery 29 as a 2017 finalist in the Riot Comedy Writers Lab. Unbelievable. Find Christina, you guys, on Twitter at Christina Anthony. Okay, let us tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Spinning it softly is his song.
Oh, okay.
Drunk Tank. So my friend came to town, Valerie. She's a fashion designer and boutique owner. And so she was in town for Fashion Week. And so we went to a restaurant in Beverly Hills before one of the shows. And when the owner of the restaurant found out that Valerie was a designer, he was like, please let me comp you guys a bottle of wine. I was like, oh, I don't know, Valerie. You know, drinking and driving is really, really dangerous. But I was like, it is free wine. So I went ahead and had a glass, then I had two, and then I had three, then I had four. So I was like, Val, let's get in the car. And I said, the place where we're going to have the fashion show is right up the street. It's just minutes from, just like up the street. And we pull in. I said, pull in right here where this guy in the uniform is directing us. And I said, is this the place for, what is this place? And he says, this is actually a intoxication stop zone where we're checking people. He says, have you been drinking? And I said, I have to be honest, yes, I have. And so he said, that's okay, because you're in the passenger seat. I just want to talk about
Christina Anthony, fantastic. Stick around. Stay right here.
Wow.
Matt Oswalt, what'd you think?
An intoxication stop zone? Is that what they actually said?
Checkpoint,
yeah. Okay. Did you feel like he was racially profiling you?
Yeah.
You did? Really? Seriously?
No.
Oh, come on now.
Peter, what'd you think?
I like that between Christine and Margot, that's seven drinks. good story. You got it all in there. I'm very impressed.
In 1 minute, really. That's an achievement. Nice. It's very difficult. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, Christina.
Go anywhere.
Kelly, anything?
We did not see it coming. Beautiful. Great surprise ending. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah. You guys, give her a hand. Christina Anthony. Okay, so here we go. We're going to do this whole thing again, but now we're going to have a 2-minute story told, which is exciting.
It's twice the fun.
It's twice the fun. That's what I was going to say, Kelly.
Twice the awkwardness.
All the names are in this jar, and coming up to the stage right now is Paul Shirley, you guys. Paul Shirley. All right, let him hear it, you guys.
All right, Paul.
You could tell the same story, only slower.
Sex ed. So I was a very shy 7th grader, just the meek, late maturing, skinny kid with the freckles, who also thought that Static was the aliens, obviously. And so I was very nervous when our home ec teacher said, we're taking a break today from funnel cakes or whatever it is because today's sex ed day. And so I knew that there was going to be some sort of repercussion because of the aforementioned shyness and the freckles and the paleness and being scared of girls. What I had forgotten to think about was the fact that the person who walked through the door to teach sex ed was my mother. So she starts and she does all of the slides and here's what chlamydia looks like and syphilis and all of that. And I'm just holding strong, just like focus forward. You'll get through this and survive this and you can go back to the aliens on the radio or whatever. And then she's like, okay, so my mom was a very progressive sex ed teacher. I grew up in Kansas, so kind of similar. People were not real fond of the whole sex ed thing. So it was bold that she was doing all of this. And as a part of her presentation, she got out a condom. And when I remembered this story much later, I thought, oh yeah, mom, how could you have done that? You put a condom on a banana. And she's like, no, that's not what I did, Paul. I was like, oh, that must be one of those things where you just think it's worse than it really is. And she's like, no, I just used my forearm and I just put the condom on my forearm. I was like, that's way worse. And that explains what happened next, which is that one of these kids from across the way, Justin Bridges, says, too bad her son's never going to have to use one of those. And I burst immediately into tears. And when you're in seventh grade and you start crying, what you do is you put your head up in the air, hoping that the tears will stay in your orbital bones. And the truth is that they don't. And that makes it worse because when you finally put your head down, they all come rushing onto your shirt and everybody in the class sees and knows that your mom just taught you sex ed in front of your seventh grade home ec class.
Wow. Paul Shirley, wow. You guys. Look at the time. A perfect time. Unbelievable. What'd you think, Matt?
So how much therapy did it take to get over this, by the way, for you to be able to stand on stage and tell the story?
I had to write 2 books to get through it.
Okay. There we go. Okay.
Peter, any thoughts?
I love the plot twist, you know, with your mother walking in. In a 2-minute story, you very rarely have a MacGuffin.
A MacGuffin.
Insider terms, guess.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, what did you think?
I'm just happy he said the word MacGuffin. No, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Absolute turn in the middle, holy shit moment. Well done.
All right. Now, listen, you guys, we all know who Kelly Carlin's dad was, George Carlin, right? So you've got a story about growing up for us.
Oh,
I'm sure you do. Give us something. Tell us something about your dad.
Okay. Well, one of the most famous stories I tell is that I was about 10 years old. We just came back from Hawaii. My parents had been doing a lot of experimenting with chemicals, let's just put it that way. And my dad came rushing into my bedroom and woke me up to tell me, Kelly, I've got something important to tell you. I think the sun has exploded and we have about 6 minutes to live. And so for the next, about 6 minutes, we were outside checking on the sun to see if it was okay. And it turned out being fine, but I had to go to school the next day and explain how great Easter vacation was.
Awesome, Kelly Carlin. Let Paul Shirley hear it, you guys.
But Paul, were you able to make a funnel cake? That's the important part.
Oh, yes.
Could you make a funnel cake?
Oh, kill a funnel cake.
See, there you go.
That's how you get the ladies right there. Okay, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Christina Anthony. Christina, yeah. Give her a hand. Woo-hoo. Well, you guys, let her hear it. Yes.
Pets.
Okay, so I used to work at a very famous vacation rental home sharing company, and people would call and say, I need help. And this girl called in to say, I've been kicked out of my rented house. The woman I'm staying with kicked me out, and I'm like 19 walking around the streets of Amsterdam alone. And so I called the woman. I was like, hey, this girl's like 19. You got to let her back in. And she goes, no, you know, my cat is missing. And I was like, well, you live in a high-rise apartment. You know, I'm sure she feels really bad about it. Maybe we can help you find it. Can you tell me what happened? And so the girl tells me, the woman who was staying there that's out in the street, she says, look, I don't know where the cat went. You know, the only thing I can remember is that a guy came by and he was like, hey, can I, I just wanted to like come by and talk with the cat. He said he used to live with the cat. And there's a real language barrier happening between all three of us. And so I was like, okay, sure. And so then I said, well, what happened? And she says, well, the guy took the cat with him. And I go, wait, well, that's what happened. Someone stole the cat. You let a guy in and he stole the cat. And she goes, no, he called the cat by name. I believe him. He used to live there. And so in the end, the woman says, you know what? I'm really upset with your company. I'm going to like sue you guys. Also, my computer is missing. And I'm like, you should have led with that. And so in the end, we end up like the woman, I think the young lady, I put her, she like stayed in a hotel. And so that was the end of her vacation. But I realize now, like, I always wondered at the end of that, when everything was over, do cats really come when you call their name like a dog?
Christina Anthony, you guys. Christina Anthony. Matt, what did you think?
Did you say Amsterdam? This took place in the country, the city of Amsterdam over in, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that explained the whole language. Okay, I got. Okay.
No, the nobody was Dutch.
Go on up there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nobody was Dutch. So I think somebody was speaking, the woman was German, and the young girl was like, she was from Spain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kelly, what'd you think?
Interesting.
You got very philosophical at the end, and I really love stories that end that way, so thank you.
Nice. Peter?
That was a sad story, which is kind of like, you know, a relief. You know, everybody feels like they have to be funny, but you went sad. I like that.
All right, you guys. Christina Anthony, let her hear it. Okay, coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Margot Lightman, you guys. Let her hear it. A little harder, a little harder. Come on, all the way around, Margo. Come on, all the way around, all the way around.
Oh, you did that. All right.
Okay, so you spin again. She had that topic.
Three spins.
Interesting. Go, Margo.
Is that too light?
No, that's good. Unless it lands on drunk.
Go Hollyweird.
Interviews.
Interviews.
So about 2 years ago, I had an interview with a very famous pop star from another era. So I'll leave her name out of it, but this person had a very iconic career. And I was potentially being hired to help her write her one-woman show. And I went to her house, and I was sitting across from this person that I had really idolized as a kid. And I won't say who it is, but let's say it's Britney Spears, even though it was not Britney Spears. I'm just going to say that, right? But let's say it was Britney Spears. And in this interview I had with this not Britney Spears person, I had an argument with her because in her one-woman show, she wanted to incorporate this thing from a music video of her time. So let's say Britney Spears was like, I want to do a one-woman show, but I want to wear the Hit Me Baby One More Time outfit the entire time, let's say, right? And I was sitting there being like, no, we can't. And we were arguing about this back and forth, and I was like, look, people want to move on. They want to hear about your life. And then this pop star was basically like, no, I want to do this thing from this iconic thing from my time. And I had this moment that I was sort of like left my body in this, and I was like, if you at like 10 years old could see that you were being in this pop star's house arguing with her about her music video and all this stuff, and it was just a very strange moment. And then I was driving home, and I was on the highway, and I was thinking, like, this is a weird city. This is a weird life. You just had an argument with a childhood hero of yours. And as I was sitting that, I just heard crash, and I rolled into the car right in front of me because I was questioning my life. Like, and I just my foot fell off the brake, and I rolled directly into it, and the guy, like, pulled out and got out of the car in the middle of this busy street, and he looked at me, and he was like, well, I just bought this car, and he was, like, yelling at me, and I was just standing there, like, and he goes, were you texting? And I was like, no. And he goes, what were you doing? And I was like, I was just, like, deep in thought. And he was like, what? And I was like, and he was so stressed out, and he was like, it's okay, it's okay.
Good. Margot Lightman, yeah. You guys. Margot, yeah. Lightman, come on up here, Margot. All right, Matt, what'd you think?
Did the one-woman show ever happen?
No, it never happened.
And it was because she insisted on wearing the one outfit from the...
She insisted, I don't know, she couldn't get past that she wanted to do this iconic thing from a vintage thing.
Wow.
She wouldn't talk about her real life. She wouldn't tell a true story.
Okay.
Which is what the show is, yeah. And so it never happened.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. She would lose Story Smash in a minute.
She would lose Story Smash.
Yeah. She would lose.
Yeah. But she was so fabulous.
Peter, what'd you think?
It's interesting because her most famous song was, what was that again?
Hit Me Baby One More Time?
No, it wasn't Britney Spears.
Oh, no. He's trying to trick her.
I was just trying to trap her into saying it.
All right, you guys. Margot Lightman. Let her hear it. Margot Lightman.
Like a virgin. What? Was she like a virgin?
I don't even think I could have made it into Madonna's house safely without losing my mind.
Yeah. Wait, can you tell us the name, really, Margot?
I think she's signed
an NDA. Would you give us initials?
She exhibits some odd human behavior.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
People. Okay, initials. Give us
damn
initials.
Millennials don't know music.
We're all going to keep it a secret. We're all friends here.
Podcasted. If it wasn't being podcasted.
We're all friends.
No.
You know what's good about
the show never went. So what does it matter? The show never went. So
tomorrow.
If I have to lose the game, I will. Text right. My hero.
She's a hero. Margot Lightman. Let her hear it.
And disqualified. Totally
all right, you
disqualified.
Guys. Three more people coming up to tell a true two-minute story, and then the judges will select two storytellers to move on for the third round, in which they tell a true three-minute story. Coming up to the stage right now is Christopher Revoss, you guys. Give him a hand.
Yeah.
Food.
Okay, so I did so many drugs in college. It was a hobby at a time. Mainly acid. A couple things on acid. You can't really get shit done. But you do come up with cravings. So we did acid. We were doing acid. I think we were like maybe 9 hours in, and we had a craving for cereal. We went to CalArts College in Valencia, a super safe place to do acid anywhere. And so we were like, we need to get cereal. So all we had to do was cross the street to the Ralphs. That took about an hour and 15 minutes. But we get there to the Ralphs, and oh my God, looking for cereal on acid is like climbing Everest without hands and blindfolded. I mean, you are just swimming in options, right? There is just cereal everywhere, and you're like, we can do a combo of this and this and this, but that's crazy. What kind of milk? We should do this kind of milk. And like, do you have enough bowls if I want to shake them up? You know, so we're doing that. And then all I hear from the back is, hey, Chris. And I look back, and it's my boss from LA Fitness. And I'm like, y'all, I got this. You get the cereal. I'll be back. So I walk over to him. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, chilling, just getting some cereal. How about you?
He was like, just hanging out. Have a chill night. What's on your face? And I was like, what? And he's like, on your face. And I reach up, and I have this giant Cheshire Cat sticker on my face. And I look at the sticker, and I look at him, and I put it back on my face, and I go, that's just a sticker, man. I'm going to go get some cereal.
Christopher Reboss, stay here, friend.
Wow.
All right, Matt, what'd you think?
Do you ever have, like, if you're, like, at a Ralph's and you're looking at cereal, do you ever have, like, flashbacks where all, like the Captain Crunch comes to life and, like, starts, like, you know duking it out with, like, with tricks?
And the bulk section.
They do, yeah.
The Ralph's has a bulk section, so that really fucks with you because you're like, do I get the box or do I do the deal in bulk, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool to have that, you know, just these weird flashbacks.
Kelly, what'd you think?
Love a good acid story.
You don't have one of those, do you?
No, I never did that. Wow, just, yeah, really fun. And the cereal thing, I get overwhelmed by cereal anyway, just perfectly sober, yeah. So I can only imagine.
What's your favorite cereal, Kelly?
Well, now that I'm my age, it's Fiber One.
Wow.
Matt, what's your favorite cereal?
You know what? I still love Lucky Charms. I still do the thing where I separate the marshmallows and save it for one big treat.
Yeah, you're exactly. Like 12.
Yeah. And I clap my hands twice, and I do all these like weird OCD things and touch the doorknob and, you know.
Peter, what'd you think of the story?
I really like the story, and I'm very impressed by how fluently you tell it. The only thing that was a little off is that, you know, a job at LA Fitness doesn't seem like there was as much at stake as he needed.
All right, you guys, Christopher Reboss, let him hear it. Yeah. What's your favorite cereal, Peter?
30% Cheerios, 20% 30% Kellogg's Corn Flakes, 20% Honey Nut Cheerios, and then the rest a more Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
You alt-right Nazi.
That sounds like somebody, like a character on Seinfeld would eat like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it does. Sounds like a Costanza thing.
They didn't hire me for nothing.
All right, you guys, one more storyteller is coming up to tell a true two-minute story, and then the judges will choose two storytellers to go on to the third round. And so that final storyteller coming up right now, I don't even have to look in the jar. It's Melanie Maris, you guys. Melanie Maris, mm-hmm. Give her a big round of applause. And then... Drunk Tank.
Stuffy.
Melanie, get over to that microphone. I'll come right up there.
Okay. So my boyfriend decided that the perfect time to end our relationship without warning was right before the holidays. So I had no plans for the holidays. I started wearing crystals in my bra, which is like a new rock bottom, rocks in my bra. I started like posting pictures of myself on Instagram in my underpants, but like I look so sad in the pictures, like I've just been sold into sex trafficking. And I started like hitting up everyone I know, like, hey, what you doing on December 25th? Oh, you're gonna be hanging out with your family? Is that more like an in the morning type of thing? Or okay, but so I ended up getting to go to Mexico for New Year's, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna have a hot holiday hookup and get these ghosts out of my vagina. I'm gonna get a palate cleanser in there. Somebody, anybody. So I go out drinking, and I choose this guy, and I choose him because he looks so sweet and innocuous. You know, looks like the kind of guy who'd be really grateful. You know, the kind of guy who would let me say to him, you don't look like a Fred. You look like a Josh. I'm gonna call you Josh. And just take it. So we go back to Fred Josh's hotel room, and you know, things are starting to get like really hot and heavy. You know, we have been drinking heavily, and Fred Josh says, I can't believe this is happening. And I was like, I know. And he says, no, everyone says you're not supposed to drink the ice in Mexico, but there's ice and everything. You can't not drink the ice, and I just feel so unbelievably ill. And I said, Fred Josh, are you afraid you're going to vomit on me? And he says, no, not vomit. And I said, Fred Josh, are you afraid you're going to shit your pants? And he says, yes, I am. and I asked, what's the percentage? Because if it was less than 30%, I was just going to take my chances. And Fred Josh says, 80%. So that was a hard pass.
Yeah. All right, Melanie Maris, yeah. Stick around. Oh, so funny. Come back over here. Wow. What'd you think, Peter?
Yeah, it's a good story. I don't have experiences like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's so alien to me that I can't even judge.
Do you have any drunk story, Peter?
No.
None?
None.
Anything, any other kind of illicit drugs?
No.
Really?
None.
Interesting.
I've never been drunk in my life.
Is that right?
Swear to God.
Do you drink at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you drink?
Wine.
Wine. Okay, well, I'm just curious. I'm just asking. Just wondering.
And I don't like it.
You don't like it.
Judge him for not drinking.
All right, no, I'm just curious. Matt, tell us, what did you think of the story?
Why does every story about Mexico end in diarrhea? Like, every story. It was interesting. It's a little sloppy at times, but I thought it was, no, come on.
Ooh.
No, get the sloppy. Come on. Yeah, that's what
oh, getting sloppy, it. Sloppy
come
drunk.
On,
I get
I got
it.
Your back. Come on. So you left the guy's apartment, or did you?
His hotel room. Yeah.
80% was that was not a that was a no go.
Where's your no fly zone?
Where's your percentage stop on diarrhea? Like 40%, 50%? Like where will you draw the line?
What was the cutoff? 30% was the cutoff.
That's the cutoff. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Melanie Maris, let her
Good.
Hear it.
Good.
Okay, so this is an exciting part of the show. You guys have the arduous task of choosing two of the storytellers. Peter, they're right here. You guys will choose which two storytellers go on for a 3-minute story, which is super exciting. But I want to thank you guys, first of all, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out. Give yourselves a round of applause, really. And it's a really hot day, so it's a nice place to be inside this wonderful theater. And there's so many people I want to thank for inviting us here to the Festival of Books. News Story, first of all, News Story. Give him a round of applause. Clint Schaaf over there, he helped us tremendously. Also, Colleen McManus, Dan Mabbitt. Up in the sound booth, you guys, we have a guy named Jeff. He's running this whole auditorium here. Thank you, Jeff. Give him a round of applause. And over here on the clock, we've got a guy named George. He's helping us out on the clock. Thank you, George. Applause are free. Applause are free. And I also want to give a big round of applause to my co-producer, John Cohen. He's here back in the booth. Thank you, John. Big applause. And I want to tell you that a lot of these storytellers on the stage today, these guys all have books like we talked about, Paul and Margo and myself and Kelly, and we're going to be signing books afterward. I believe it's called Signing Booth 3. Does that sound right?
I'd love to know.
Yes. Something like that. Yes, signing booth 3. It's right back here. You'll follow us, and we'll all be together. So I'm not worried about that at all. I also want to tell you guys that the next Story Smash is this upcoming Saturday, April 28th, at the Hollywood Improv. Give that a round of applause. That's a lot of fun. You guys should come out to that show. We play every month at the Improv, and really, we have a great time. People are drinking, and that's, I don't know if that adds to the show or what, but it tends to get a little rowdy, which is great. And these guys, look, they're taking notes, and they're very serious, and I'm hearing them in my ear. I'm very impressed. All right, you guys, they've got a couple of names. They're going to put them in this jar right here. First, I empty this out. Nothing in here. Nothing in the jar. We put two names in this jar, and then I'll call the first name up. They'll come up and tell a true 3-minute story. You guys, all the storytellers are so great. Let's give everybody a round of applause, first of all. Really. Yeah. It is not easy, man, and these guys make it look so simple. So I'm so impressed and so thrilled that everybody came out. And right now, coming to the stage, was this a hard decision, by the way, you guys?
Yeah.
Very. It was like a
just
kind
brutal.
Of a 4-way kind of tie thing. We had to, like, go and... We had one that we were pretty sure, then the other three we had, it was like a 3-way tie thing, so we had to like...
We almost had to arm wrestle. It was.
Yeah, I saw you back here, a little arguing going on. I'm not worried.
We ended up going with the two who paid us.
I think that's not a bad idea. All right, you guys, coming to the stage for a true 3-minute story. Give him a big round of applause. It is Paul Shirley, you guys.
Woo-hoo!
Paul Shirley.
Yeah.
Come on, big applause. All right, you guys, let him hear it. Paul, 3 minutes.
Forever. This will take forever.
No, just 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. And this counts the spinning.
Ooh.
Break up.
Break up.
I could tell you the story about how this girl that I moved to L.A. for on New Year's morning woke up and said, I think we should just be friends, which was awful. But I'm not going to tell you that story. I'm going to tell you a story about Greece. So, as Christine mentioned, I played professional basketball, and my first stop was in Athens, Greece. I went to join a professional basketball team in Athens, which was seemingly very glamorous, but there were some quick hiccups in that they stopped paying us very soon after I got there. I went through some little chaos with my landlord. He knocked on my door at some point, and he said, Paul, the team has not paid your rent, so you have to be out of the apartment tomorrow. I was like, well, I'm 23. I don't know how to get an apartment in Athens, Greece. So I call the manager, whose name was Stavros, and I'm like, Stavros, what's going on? Like, you got to pay the rent at my apartment. And he's like, Paul, we're only 3 months behind, and Greek law says that until you get 6 months behind, it's fine. So tell him to buzz off, and we'll move on. So anyway, I was kind of a sucker, so I continue to play basketball for this team, even though I'm not getting paid. And I met a girl, a lovely lady named Electra, which is the best name of anyone I will ever date by a long shot. And Electra and I date for a while. We run into a bit of a hiccup when, thankfully, Electra's not in the room or the country, so I can say this. I realized that Electra didn't smell very good. So I was like, well, I have to break up with her. Like, you can't tell a person, like, you don't smell good. Like, in whatever language, that's not fun. It's easier to just, like, get out of the relationship. Right? So I thought I would have to break up with her, but I didn't. That's not where this story ends. I actually solved this problem by one time she said we were going to go to a movie, and she said, before I come over, I'm going to take a shower. And I made such a big deal out of how good she smelled that it solved the problem. So anyway, we go through the rest of the season. I continue to not get paid. I guess they must have paid my landlord off or something like that because I got to continue to have a place to live. And Electra and I dated for a while, but it was pretty clearly not a serious relationship because I was going to go on to this professional basketball career. So at the end of the season, I took Electra for a long walk. I thought this will be a nice way to end this relationship. We'll have a nice walk and we'll talk about how great it's been to meet each other. And I'll mention again how great she smells because she doesn't smell bad at least. And we go out on this long walk, like a mile and a half. And at the end, I'm like, you know, Electra, it's been so nice getting to know you. But, like, I got to go off to my career. And she looks at me and she's like, wait, what? And I have that moment of panic where I'm like, oh, she didn't know that this was temporary. And then she starts crying like an Italian woman whose son has just died in a hail of Allied gunfire. And then I have to drag her back to the car. And what I learned from that story is if you're going to break up with someone, break up with him at the end of the walk, not in the middle of the walk.
Paul Shirley. Oh, that is such good advice, man. Stay here. That is such good advice, right? I mean, if you start breaking up on the way out, you got a lot of time ahead of you.
Awkward. Yeah.
Awkward. What'd you think of the story,
and,
Matt?
And did that experience inspire you to write The Notebook? Is that what did it?
Yeah. Because of that, I've had to just tell more stories on dates. Yes.
I just love a story with somebody named Electra and Stavros. It's like a Wes Anderson movie, you know?
Right. So it's almost too on the nose, but it was real.
No, exactly.
There's actually only about six Greek names, like Christos, Stavros, and now I've offended everyone in the audience who's Greek. Sorry.
And Spanakopita.
And Shlomo.
Kelly, what'd you think?
I like that we got a little mini story at the beginning. Like, oh, here's one story I could tell you, but we're not going there.
It was interesting.
The other one.
It's a little
teaser.
We
got our own little teaser, which was really great. And some nice advice at the end. Didn't see that coming. It was a nice way to end it. Well done.
All right, what'd you think, Peter?
We love a story with a moral.
With a monorail?
A moral.
Oh, moral.
Mono.
With a moral.
Wait,
I can agree with
mono
that.
Is mono one of the topics? Because I had that for like 6 weeks in sixth grade.
All right, you guys. Paul Shirley. Let him hear it. Paul Shirley.
Good job, Paul.
All right, you guys. One more storyteller coming up for a true three-minute story. And then these guys are going to select a winner. And wait till you see what the prize is.
Do they know what they're getting?
Not yet, but they're going to find out after this story. Storyteller's name is called right now. Coming up to the stage is Christina Anthony, you guys. Christina Anthony. Give her a big round of applause. Come on. And wow. Let her hear it.
Spin that wheel.
I hope it lands on hats.
Okay, this is exciting. This is, I was really hoping for this.
Well,
I have to say.
Too, especially at the NAACP and LA Times presents the Festival of Books.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay, so this is going to be your request, you guys. So you could just start yelling out story topics. The judges will listen and they'll select one of those topics. What do you want to hear?
The elderly.
Holidays.
Monorails.
Monorails.
Disneyland. What else?
Chester Satan's
song. Chihuahuas. Chihuahuas. Deals. What did you guys hear? Did you hear anything?
I heard like literally every category.
Birthday party. What else? New apartment.
I heard vacation twice.
Okay, vacation is what it's going to be. Here we go. Christina Anthony telling us about her vacation. Here she goes. 3 minutes.
I feel like I made that happen.
You did. Okay. Okay, so I'll tell you the story. When I was much younger, I think I was in like the 7th grade, I wanted to go, people for the summer were taking like their friends on a trip for their birthday. And my mom was like, I grew up in a very modest household, and my mom was like, we can't afford that. And so I didn't get to do it. And so people would take their friend, like somebody's going to Disneyland, you could take a friend, you're going camping, you could take a friend. And so I ended up not having it, but my friend, Tiffany, I won't say her last name because she might be listening to this. Weird. She was having, for her birthday, her mom let her have a costume birthday party. And so I was like, well, my mom's like, you can go to this. We'll make up for it. Your birthday was in September, but you can go to her party. It was just like an hour outside of town, so it's not technically a vacation. But so, yeah, so my mom's like, you can go, but you can't dress up because we were Christians. And so, like, at Halloween during school, my mom would send a note that says, Christina can't bob for apples. She has to bob for fruits of the spirit. And so she's like, you can go to the party, but you can't dress up. So, and it was a little ways out of town. So I remember one of the moms was going to, like, I had to carpool to go with them. And so my mom's like, you can go. And maybe I was going to spend the night. I can't remember that part either. But I was like, my costume is going to be, I decided I'd saved up my money and that I was going to be a mime. My mom had a beret because it was in fashion. And I had a striped shirt and I had some suspenders. And then I had some money saved up and I bought some makeup. And I got dressed and got ready and got picked up, got to the party, and everybody in my class was just like making fun of me. They're like, your costume's terrible, it sucks, you suck. And I was crying and crying, and it was, my mom had to come and pick me up. And so Tiffany's mom was like, your mom's coming to get you. It's gonna take like an hour for her to get here. And I'm like sweating because I'm like, my mom let me go on this little excursion and I ruined it. And basically, she had to call my mom and say, your daughter's here in blackface, because I was confused and thought if white mimes wore white makeup on the package, I was like, maybe black mimes wear black makeup right here. But I done it perfectly, so my mouth is like white right here, white around my eyes. And so my mom picks me up, and we get in the car, and she looks at me, and she's like, we're getting Domino's on the way home. And I was like, we're getting pizza for this? And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't get in trouble. And the long car ride home for that hour, she just was like, have you ever heard of Al Jolson, the jazz singer? And I was like, what? And she was like, I want to talk to you about blackface. And that's what we did for that car ride for the hour. And I learned about blackface the whole time.
All right, Christina Anthony. Wow, that's a heck of a vacation. Come on up here. What do you think, Matt?
You know what? There is a lack of black mimes in the world. I never thought about that before, but you're right. There's not many. I know, what's the guy in France who's the famous mime?
Marcel.
Yeah. And then Billy Crystal from Spinal Tap. Yeah. And then that's pretty much all I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no black
mime. I can't name one black
mime. And I think that the Festival of Books, 2018, we finally recognize that fact. And we take to the streets.
Peter, what'd you think of the story?
Even blacker lives matter. That's a new movement.
Well,
I like the story. I had no idea where that was going.
And, yeah.
That was a really good story.
Kelly, what'd you think?
Yeah. Loved it. Because I started thinking about the white face part. I thought, well, she hasn't mentioned the makeup part yet. And then when you did, I was like, oh, just little girl crushed inside of my heart also with you. And it slightly sounded like a little bit like a Seinfeld episode also in some weird way.
Definitely going there.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, let her hear it. Christina Anthony.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Okay, now these guys are going to have to decide who wins this thing. And so you guys chat amongst yourself. Tell us who the winner is going to be. And I'll have to tell you guys, the winner is going to receive, this is exciting, my homemade chocolate chip cookies. I made these, you guys. And I'm telling you, I have the best recipe. I swear to God. You know why? Because my niece is a baker in Pennsylvania where I'm from. She has a bakery. She gave me the recipe. I will give it to you if you come see me after the show. Right. That deserves an applause. Come on. Free recipe. What do you want? Also, I want you guys to know that this show will be podcast on the Storyworthy podcast in a couple of weeks, so you can look for that. And again, we're at the Improv every single month, so come on back. Plus, we have a brand new website. That's exciting. The website is storysmashshow.com. Storysmashshow. It's easy, right? Maybe I should have called it Spin That Wheel. That would have been... It's storysmashshow.com. Are you guys... Is the decision made?
Yes.
And tell us how difficult this decision was. Because everybody was very talented.
Oh, no, everyone was fantastic today.
Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible.
Much better than the last one of these.
Peter Malman has been a judge before at the Improv, so you know.
How busy am I?
All right, what did you think? Matt, any other words on the decision?
It was a close call. With a photo finish.
The photo finish. Okay, Kelly Carlin, will you announce the winner, Kelly? And that person's going to come on up to the stage. And actually, before that
and
person...
And tell a seven-minute story about how they...
Just won this event.
Won the Storyworthy.
All right, let's hear Kelly Carlin. Who's the winner of Story Smash today?
The winner is... Paul Shirley.
Woo! Paul Shirley, come on up to the stage. Paul Shirley, let him hear it, you guys. Come on up.